It is beautiful up here. Thank you to those of you that made this possible. I'm so grateful. Today I'm talking about favor. And when I think about this church, I'm reminded of God's favor in so many incredible ways. Today's just another experience of the ongoing favor that, you know, what does Scripture say? How Jesus grew in favor with God and with men, and we see that and we experience that, don't we, church family? Amen. I hope that that you'll take time and introduce yourself to those around you when worship is over this morning, and share your love and your goodwill toward one another. It's been great. The items of the drinks and the snacks that are in the back, that's kind of a rare thing here. So if you are visiting just today, I want you to know just how special you really are. And actually, when we're done today, I want you to know how special you are. Before I really get into today's lesson, I want to help you out with some punny Christmas riddles. Some punny Christmas riddles so that you can share some of these with your family when y'all gather. I have three. So if you're not into this, just humor me for a moment. Endure this disgust in your heart. But the rest of you, you might enjoy these. First of all, let me ask you this one, Jonathan. I want to know, does Santa have any money? No. Why does Santa have no money? No, it's not because he has magic. It's because he is Saint Nicholas. You can use that on your family today, Jonathan. What do you say to a bad puppy at Christmas? Feliz naughty dog. That was bad. I know it was. I know. Here's my favorite. I shared it Wednesday night, so those of you Wednesday night, you can't play. What did the first man tell his wife on December 24th? It's Christmas Eve. Okay, you can share some of those with your family. Oh, me. You are so favored. You are so favored from God. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Everything that you have received and all that we're doing, even when it looks like we may not be winning, please, Paul says, know that it's not in vain because of this. In the time of my favor, he quotes the Old Testament. In the time of my favor, I heard you, God said to Israel. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And Paul says to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago, and he says the same to us today. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I want you all to know today that you and I receive preferential, favored treatment from our Lord God Almighty. Well, I want to think for a few minutes about what does that mean? What does that mean to be favored? One of our words that we use so often that's related to favor is favorite, right? Like I have someone in my family that believes of all the people in our family that they are the favorite, but I won't mention any names, although it might be a firstborn of mine. And they'd believe that they are worthy of preferential treatment. What does it mean to be favored? When one person uses their resources, be it their strength, their mind, their wisdom, or their wealth, they use those resources to benefit another, so that they would flourish in life. That's what it means to be favored. Many of y'all have asked a favor before. We've all asked favors. I remember recently we were having a fellowship meal, and Janie Remy had made one of her coconut cream pies, and I was fearful that I was not going to receive one of the pieces of that pie, and I was waited till a lot of other people got their food, and I got my food, and I saw the line filling up over at the dessert side, and so I asked Rebecca, would you do me a favor and go get me a piece of Janie Remy's coconut cream pie? You know, and she looks at me like, Dad, why can't you do it yourself? Because I need a favor from you. You can do it so much better than I. Janie, I want to ask a favor of you. Now, I don't know how much you charge for your coconut cream pies and your amazing chocolate pies with the meringue that's about that thick that's on top. Okay, I can make, I know it's surprising to you, Patty, I can make a coconut cream pie. Yes. I'll talk and deal with you later. I can do that. I can follow a recipe, but I assure you that it will not be anywhere near as good as one of Janie's pies. Now, I do have some resources. I have a $20 bill today. Now, I don't know how much she charges for her pies or how much they cost to make, but Janie, I'm going to share some resources with you, but I want you, when I get back from Tennessee, to favor me with one of those coconut cream pies. Mindy asked me a favor this past week. She had every year, it's now her first grade class tradition to read the story of the Polar Express. And I don't know why she can't read the story of the Polar Express, but she wants me to read the story of the Polar Express. And the problem this year is that I didn't have a conductor's hat, which is, how many of y'all have seen the movie or read the book, The Polar Express? Okay, so if I talk about the conductor, you know what I'm talking about. So I didn't have a conductor's hat last year, but Stan Ray had an engineer's hat, and I wore that, and I looked pretty silly. But this year, I told Mindy, I can't do it. Stan has moved to Kansas. The hat is in Kansas. I can't help you out. Well, I don't know what conversations that she had, but when I showed up Wednesday night, someone, Janie Remy, had brought a vest and a jacket, a conductor's jacket, and any of you see a problem here? Oh my. So I actually buttoned this vest. If this ends up on Facebook, y'all are so dead. Okay. Where's the book, Mindy? I'll read it. I must say at 44 years of age that I'm really not into this. I would have much rather worn some of my stuff from Cabela's. I told Mindy what I want for Christmas. I said, I want something from Duluth Trading Post. It's the only commercial I see on TV that's for a man. And so, so I'm expecting something from... So, you know, why would I do that? Is it because I wanted to? I was able to. I did that because I love Mindy. And I did that because I love children. And I did that, and I entered into their first grade world of imagination. And I played the part and got all dramatic, like the conductor, because I could and I loved. What does it mean to experience God's favor? You and I live in a world in which there's two forms of advantage or two forms of favor. One is what I would call received favor, and the other is earned favor. One is received advantage, and one is taken advantage. I'm somewhat humored, like to illustrate this, from Matthew chapter 20, I believe it's verse 20. There's this conversation, a mother. Have y'all ever heard of a tiger mother? Do they call them the tiger moms? I mean, they've got stripes from head to toe. Y'all know what a tiger mom is? It's the one that's the helicopter that's going to ensure her success of her children. Some of you have coached Little League, and you have met this specimen of a human being, haven't you? Right? Right. They believe that their child should be the pitcher or the catcher or on first base or shortstop, anything less than any of those positions, and they better bat 1, 2, 3, or 4, preferably 4, right? You know, because their child is simply, that's the tiger mom. We meet a tiger mom in Matthew chapter 20. I got carried away talking about tiger moms. I forgot to turn there. Verse 20, chapter 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, the sons of thunder, Zebedee, came to Jesus with her son. So there's the mom. She's bringing her adult boys with her. And kneeling down, it says, she asked a, what does it say? What does the text say? Asked a favor of him. Asked, what is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. She knew enough to know that Jesus was, this kingdom's coming, and she wanted to be on this Jesus train, so to speak. And she, maybe she wanted her boy's secretary of state and secretary of the treasury, right? Those are very important, prominent, powerful positions. This tiger mom, she moves in and she wants to take advantage. She wants to take favor on behalf of her boys. You and I live in a world that likes to win favor, and we know little about receiving favor. Matter of fact, we even have a book, like when you win favor, you get your name gets put in the book. It's called the Guinness Book of World Records. Have any of y'all seen those? The point in the Guinness Book of World Records is to be number one. And if you're not number one, you're trying to work your way into and earn your way and take advantage of into number one. There was a story I read this past week about the Richards family and the Gay family. That's their last name, okay? Just to be clear. The Richards family and the Gay family. The Richards family from Australia in 2001 set the Guinness World Record for the most holiday lights to grace a human's house. They had 331,038 bulbs on their Christmas lights. And that record stood for more than a decade. It ought to still be standing today because it's really pointless. But the Gay family saw a point in trying to challenge it. And so in 2012, the Gay family from New York, they bested the Richards, and their Christmas display included 346,283 bulbs, and many of those synchronized to music from top 40 songs and traditional holiday songs. So they had bested the Richards. Well, the Richards upped the ante. Huh, after that. Well, they, the next year, did their lights, and they had 502,165 lights. Folks, that's like 29 miles of wired lights around their house. Well, the Gay family got their revenge this year, 2015. It is the new Guinness record. They have 601,736 lights. It took 2 months to build. It covers 2 acres of synchronized lights from over 200 songs, 40 of top 40 hits in Christmas music. Advantage goes to the Gay family. The Gay family, which makes a great point. Why would you do this? What's the point? What, literally, let's ask the question, what is the advantage? What favor has been earned? Their name is in a book that they had the most Christmas lights. Whoopee. The Gay family won favor. They're favored by Guinness as the home with the most Christmas lights ever. The story for so many people is that we do so much that's worth so little to earn some small bit of favor. We do so much that's worth so little to earn some small bit of favor. So let's talk about real favor, the kind that can never be bested. Let's talk about real favor, the kind that never runs out. Let's talk about real favor, the favor that is available now and is to be enjoyed. When you open up your Bibles to Luke, I invite you to turn there. The Gospel of Luke explodes with God's favor. It just explodes with God's favor. There's the story that Luke introduces, this story of Zechariah and a woman by the name of Elizabeth, and they were an elderly couple and they had no children. And Zechariah was chosen by Lot to go and to serve in the temple. And he's in the temple and he receives this vision from the angel Gabriel. Gabriel does not show up very often in Scripture. It's rare. In Daniel and in Luke, Gabriel doesn't show up. He is one of the chief, he is the highest in the authority of all the angels. And he tells Zechariah that he's going to have a son and he wants him to call him John. And it says this about John: he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. You know, and what does Zechariah do? He doesn't believe it. It's too good to be true. So Gabriel says, well, you're going to be quiet for a while. You talk too much. You need to just experience God. And you're going to experience God in silence. And the scriptures tell us in verse 23, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And then all of a sudden, there's this another story of Gabriel shows up again. He's got another message to deliver. And there's verse 29. Mary was shocked and she was troubled and she wondered about this greeting. And the angel said, verse 30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found, what does it say, church family? Favor with God. You have found favor with God. You know, I don't know what Mary was saying. You know, some people speculate as to how old Mary was. We don't know how old Mary was. People could be pledged to be married or engaged by the age of 12. So, what's your name? Tell me. I forgot. No, you. Yeah. Christina. I'm sorry. I just had this mental block. Forgive me. So, Christina, how old are you? 15 years old. Most scholars speculate that Mary was your age or about your age when she received this message from Gabriel. I don't know what you worry about, like getting Miss Me jeans or what kind of makeup you're going to wear or, you know, how popular you are or how many likes you've had on Facebook or whatever it else, whatever it is that is a part of your world. I don't know what y'all are so concerned about. But Mary, this young woman, Jesus shows up to her. And I have no idea what Mary was worried about. I don't think Mary had as many things as we have today. A lot of things that confuse us and make us envy us and make us covet us. She didn't have a lot of that stuff. And Mary is this one that is favored with God. And he says, verse 32, he will be great, be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. God's favor has come upon Mary. It's come upon Elizabeth. But what's the point of it? God favored Elizabeth. God favored Mary, so God would favor us. Move over in the story. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 13. The angels show up to these shepherds, and it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angels with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Church family, note this, underline it, and take it to heart. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, shalom. Peace. To those on whom his favor rests. Now, what's this business? First, I see my time. What's this business about favor coming to rest? What's that all about? Do you remember the story in Acts chapter 2 of the tongues of fire? They were all praying in that upper room of the house, and the tongues of fire came and they came to rest upon the apostles and those present. Hannah and I, several years ago, were going fishing. It was late February up the Navidad River. We're getting an early start on the white bass run. And we're going up, there was a dead tree that was still standing, it was real tall on the right, and she and I, we were watching this huge bird, had just an enormous wingspan, and that bird came to rest in that tree as we're driving by in the boat, and we realized it was a bald eagle. What does it mean that something comes to rest? If something comes to rest, it is present. It is here. It is with us. What God desires for us, or the outcome of His favor, is that you and I experience peace, not the absence of hostility, but the fullness of life in God. It is wholeness. That's that wholeness. So when Elizabeth is favored and Mary is favored because she's going to give birth to Jesus, and we are told that he is, verse 11 says, in the town of David, he is a Savior. He will save us from our sins. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed, the chosen one, the King, and he is the Lord. That is the Old Testament name for God. He is all of these, so that you and I would experience peace because God's favor has come to rest upon us. Folks, you know what it's like to be out of favor with God? I'll share with you just one passage that comes to mind. It's from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse, I believe it's 11, yes. Paul says to those brethren in Ephesus, therefore, remember, because he wants them to know, if you remember, you're going to know how favored you are. You're going to know how unfavored you were before, but how favored you are now. Remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Y'all thought I sometimes chase rabbits. You ought to read Paul sometime. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's what it is to be out of favor. This is God's world. And you and I, we are either in God's favor or we're out of God's favor. We are in Christ or we're out of Christ. And I want you to think about where you are right now. God desires for His favor and peace to rest upon you. Glory to God in the highest. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. It was customary, I'm told, and I've read, it was customary that when a child that would become a Roman emperor or Roman leader, when the child was born, that they would have skilled and gifted poets, songwriters, and orators write songs and poetry and words for a speech to celebrate this newborn child. And in Rome, they would always talk about how this upcoming emperor would bring peace to the world. Do you know how Rome brought peace to the world? Well, what do we call a Colt 45, church family? It's a peacemaker. That's the Empire of Rome. That's how you establish peace in the eyes of the world. But that's not how peace comes to us, church family. Peace is a gift that comes from Almighty God. And rather than an orator in the halls of Congress or on national television, it was the host of heaven that proclaimed to these lowly ones, these shepherds, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those whom His favor rests. Church family, let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? Has God's wholeness completeness. Let me call it this, Holy Spirit relaxation. How about that? Has God's Holy Spirit relaxation come to you? You and I live in a world, be it Caesar's or ours today, it's grasping for favor, it's grasping for advantage, it's trying to have a recognized name, it's trying to establish a lasting legacy, it's trying to be noticed, it's trying to be celebrated, it's trying to be envied, and Katy Perry even writes a song about it, Hear Me Roar. I tried, but it's terrible. I tried. Yeah, Hear Me Roar. Take advantage. Take the favor. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was favored. She was highly favored. And the scriptures say, and she says in her song, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Is it better to be blessed, or is it better to be the best? There's a lot of people trying to be the best, and they're miserable. And I've been one of them. They're miserable because it's a world of comparison. It's a world of competition. It's a world of envy and being envied. It's a world in which you're always unsure of where you stand. Even when you get to the top, you're not so sure how long you'll stay there. And then there's the world that God offers us. It's the world of favor. It's better to be blessed than be the best, church family. I hope you'll take that heart to heart. It doesn't mean that you don't strive. What does Paul say? Whatever you do in word or deed, you do it all for the name of the Lord. And then, you know, we work for the Lord, not for men, that we have a master that we work for. When we work for earthly masters and we're trying to impress human people, we are miserable. But when we live for the master above, we are blessed. Is it better to be blessed or to be the best? Is it better to be favored or to be first? Well, that's the gift of God that's offered to you this Christmas. If we can serve you, come forward while we stand and sing.